and gather, come and gather, he's coming to town. Yet there was no sword. He had not come to slay the enemy, but he came to upturn tables and talk of prayer. Still today we can put God in our expectations and not understand his ways. When we pray, do we really mean your will be done? You know, this week we remember the week that Jesus was on earth and how it was his relationship with God the Father and the Holy Spirit that enabled to endure the cross, the weight of all our sin, because he loved us and he wanted to make a way for us to live free and pure. Mark's already shared about Calvary and what it actually meant on that Good Friday. In John 3:16, it's one of the most quoted passages in the whole Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We get things wrong. I hate to break it to you. We get things wrong. Even with our best intentions, like my dad, we can hurt those we love. My dad never intended to hurt our feelings or disappoint us. But as he didn't understand the internal expectations that my brother and I had, he didn't know that what his actions would cause us was the deep hurt, for even if it was a moment. But God always gives us what we need, not just what we expect, but far greater. His love for us is so much more, that he delights when we turn away from our things and see him face to face. But we often find ourselves praising God with all of our hearts, like we have just done this morning, 1 minute. And then our thoughts and our feelings distract us. Maybe we scroll on social media, or we turn on the news, or meet up with a friend or a neighbor, and their views of the world just distract us and distort us from the way God wants us to love and see the world. We begin to doubt. We begin to fear. We begin to let shame speak into our situations. We are blinded and we cannot see what God is doing. And then we dwell in what we often sing about is this darkness of our own insecurities and idolizations. You know, our praises, they were only emotionally deep and not rooted in the truth in our minds. And so many of our songs have scriptures that we are singing to proclaim the truth, to outweigh those emotions. But when we let those emotions take control, then we're not deep rooted in this word of God. Isaiah 43 verse 19, if you can put that up, he says this: see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. It was recorded in that society that nothing good will come from Nazareth, but Jesus did. Jesus takes those things that we say, oh, it's wasteland. Oh, don't worry about those people. No one could love them. No one could love the orphans or the widows. Their time has gone. But Jesus is like, no, no, no. They're the ones to love. They're the ones to sow into. They're the ones to make part of the community. You know, some of us here today will have had moments in our lives when someone has doubted our ability. Maybe it was even ourselves that doubted, and that failure was expected before we even started. I wonder how many of you need counselling for being last picked in PE, or always struggling with the tests. Maybe it was relationships that always seemed to break down, or never being able to sustain a job. Maybe it's baking or crafting where the smoke alarm always goes off and the glue is always stuck to the table more than the things that you're trying to do. Tuesday Club is a great place to come and be together. And in the room, it's a safe place to heal from some of those wounds. But we, as we come together, we compare ourselves to one another, don't we? It's very easy to say, wow, look what Sylvia's done. It's amazing. Ooh. Who wants some gloop? But there are areas where no one can see the good things, but God can. God sees the wasteland. He can see our attempts and goes, I see what was behind that. That was your heart. Your heart was good. You are going to blossom in places where no one else thinks you can blossom. You might not think you're a good speaker, but God's sowing into you a word to speak out. God can make things grow in those wastelands. He can make a donkey be the pride of a nation. A donkey, not a stallion, not elephants, not grandeur. He chose the ones that society overlooks. And where society around us makes us focus on wealth and beauty to define success, God looks at the heart of the person. Where society sees dry bones and dead bodies, God can see an army. Where society sees loneliness and isolation, God sees community and love. Where we see depression, addiction, poor health, God sees healing. He sees wholeness. What changes? Our perspective. Your will be done, God, not ours. When we read through scriptures on Palm Sunday, who do we identify with? The people shouting praises. Here comes the King. Hosanna. Hallelujah. God. Praise God in the highest. And then in the week, distraction comes and we start to deny him or even doubt that he is Lord of Lords. We are distracted by our emotions that we give them the authority to guide us through life. You know, I feel good today. Today's going to be a good day. I've got my songs. I'm ready to go. I'm feeling good. Next day, the clocks went back. I've lost an hour. It's not going to be a good day. I'm just going to pull the duvet up and say, goodbye day, not today. Thank you very much. That's our emotions ruling us, not God. You know, are we the scholars and those religious people who have studied the word of God? They knew what they were looking for. They were going to stick to those routines and those biblical laws until they knew for sure that God was God and he had come to earth. The thought that God could do a new thing, especially for those who are not like us. Oh, how awful. Those misled followers, who do they think they are? Come on, come this way, come back to synagogue. We can be so holding on fast to those laws and what is right and what's wrong. You know, our youngest is like that in PE. They can't do that. That's a foul. They can't do that. They're having fun. That's not allowed. There is moments when we go, no, 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 no. This is the rules that you're not engaging by the rules of the game. And we get into that headspace. We put God into our box of logic. God can't do that because he hasn't done it this way before for me. God can't do that because it's not logical. What do you mean that person was blind and now can see? That is not how it logically works. I need to see the medical evidence. When we align to that box of logic, we limit God. We put him into our expectations. We are distracted by our own knowledge and understanding, and we forget that our faith is relational. We could also be his disciples who have gone and got the donkey and colt going all the way back going, why does he want these? I don't know, but let's bring it back. Let's go and see what he's going to do next. Maybe he's going to feed 5,000 people again. Maybe we're going to see him walk on water. Maybe we might see something different happen. So they go back with expectations, going, come on, it's pretty cool. We're with Jesus. Let us through. Stand back, everybody. We're with him. We're the chosen. And then we're happy to go along with it. But as soon as we're faced with questions, why the donkey? I don't know. He told us to. Why 5,000? I don't know. He told us to. Why only one of you walked on water? I don't know. That's when we realize that those feelings and our association with Jesus is just one way. We haven't got that knowledge of who he is and the word to stand on. Our feelings aren't enough to stand on. And when those knees start knocking, it's easy to deny, like they did in the Bible, that they knew Jesus at all. Than to reveal that we don't understand what Jesus is doing. We don't know what God's going to do tomorrow. We don't know what's going on in the world around, but we trust in God no matter what. That's when we know that our faith is in him. When our shame tries to take hold and distract us from remembering all that he has done, we kind of go, oh, I don't know now. He did that yesterday, but today's different. But when we stand firm in the word of God and we know Jesus, we know, come on, tomorrow's going to be another day of adventures. What's he going to do today? But are we like Mary in that crowd? The one who treasured all that the Lord had revealed to her in her heart. The one who saw her son taken on the greatest suffering of all times, a battle like no other. But she knew him. She knew what God was going to do through him. She knew who Jesus was and who he is. That is what really matters, isn't it, for each one of us. Who is Jesus to us? A myth? A healer? A teacher? An historical figure? A friend? A source of hope? A source of peace? A source of comfort? One of many options? But many of you will have heard of Dr. Shadrach Meshach Lockridge, and one of his sermons he did in 1976. It's an old one, but it's a good one. For he talks about who Jesus is to him. And I want us to listen to it, even if you've heard it 1,000 times before. Let it soak in today and allow God to reveal who he is to us and what we may need to shift in our relationship with him. What areas of our life is he not king over? What areas are we holding back and letting our emotions or our logic take over? We need to make room for him. We need to make space for him to break down those religious laws where this is what the Bible says and I'm sticking to it because that's what I can only logically understand, and miss out that love language that he's trying to speak to us. We are part of a new covenant, and what areas of our lives need shaking up? What do we need to be broken free from to live the life that God is calling us to live? Now, we started our service praising Jesus, just as the crowd who welcomed into Jerusalem did. But our challenge is to daily welcome Jesus into every part of our lives. And during this Holy Week, imagine if we could all confidently announce who is our King in every situation. Thanks, media.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king.
Even all those years later, you can't beat that, can you? That's my king. The grave could not hold him. People couldn't know what to do with him. He didn't fit in any box. Let's pray to him right now. Lord God, we don't want to hold back anything from you. We don't want to put you in our expectations and limit what you can do for us right now. Each one of us has something where we're holding on to that authority over. We're holding on to that power over. And Lord, right now, you're asking us to give it to you. Lord, help us to not just like that, but to own it as you are my king. You are king of all, Lord of all, and you are king of my heart and Lord of my heart. And I won't hold anything back from you. And if you feel right now you need to give something to God that is a burden, that is something you've been carrying, a hurt, a pain, something that you've been enduring for a long time, trust him. He's a friend. He is closer than a brother. He knows us. He truly knows us. He is not ashamed of who we are or what we have done, but he can heal us from the wounds that they have caused us. He can give us confidence to face tomorrow because we've got the roar of that king standing with us. Death could not hold him. The veil tore before him. He's an everlasting God. And Lord, we just thank you that right now you are doing things in this room, that you are changing us for the better. Because Lord, we want to declare that you are our King.
Blessed be your name, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we just want to continue in that place of singing to you as our King. We want to make room for you to do more in our hearts than we can ever imagine. So as we go into our next song, you can say, sat down. You can kneel down. You can turn to someone near you and say, just pray with for me right now. You can come to Mark or myself or Mike, Denise. There are people in this room who would love to pray with you. There are people in this room who can stand with you. But ultimately, this is you and the Father. You can go directly to him through Jesus. Just let God minister to you in this next song. And if those who are doing the offering, I think we'll just hold it back. We won't do it just yet. We'll just have this time of reflection.